Happy Sabbath, everyone. God is good. And all the time. I like the sound of that. Amen. I thank God for another invite to Mid Rivers, Seventh-day Adventist Church. I look at it as my second home, church home. And I love you guys. Missed you. As you know, if I'm going to come, we're going to have some fun. Amen. In the Lord. Amen. God is good. I thank God, first of all, to recognize my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as bringing me out of so many situations and keeping me when I couldn't even keep myself. Amen. Praise God. I thank God for my wife. Amen. We just celebrated our 50-year anniversary, April the 9th. Yeah. This year, 2025. Praise God. And I thank God for her. She is a living testimony as well. She just received a new kidney, a kidney transplant. And she got it June the 8th, June the 10th. She was walking around the hospital. She's an amazing woman, I tell you. And I got video tape of it to show you. Yeah, God is good. But she's the sugar and cream in my tea. Amen. Praise God. And I thank God for her. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank God for the things that he has done in my life and the things that he would do in yours if you trust him. Amen. Praise God. I thank God because my life has not always been easy, you know, but God didn't say that it would be. You know, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cry out, thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. I can't do nothing but give him the glory and the praise because I wasn't born in a situation where I had everything that I needed or even wanted. Amen. Praise God. I think about Moses, how he was left on the side of the road, and I'm sorry. Excuse me one second. How he was left on the side of the road, and you know, the maid found him and took her to Pharaoh's daughter. Took him to Pharaoh's daughter. I was thinking about that because when I was offered to come speak, I had thought about some things, and then I said, you know, Lord, let me go to Mid Rivers and give them a little of my testimony. So today, I think I would test, might be a chance. While I got the chance, because there might be a chance I might not get to do it anymore. Amen. When I was born, my mother gave me away. She gave me to this lady that was collecting children's money that she was getting from the state and things like that. My mother gave me away because she didn't want her husband to know that she had slept with my father and that she had committed adultery. And so she gave me to this lady from day one. And this lady never showed us any type of love, no type of care. I never got the Google, Google, Google and all that. So I never knew what love really was. I didn't know what affection or none of that was. She was really cruel. She beat us, she starved us, put us in closets, and I come up hard. Yeah, she would have, I never forget it, she would have meals on Sundays like greens, fried chicken, yams, cornbread, but we couldn't eat none of that. We was eating sour milk and cornbread. It was actually sour milk where it grow white at the top and be green at the bottom. She'll shake it up and pour it over the cornbread that she didn't cook with that sour milk. So that was our meal for Sunday dinner. But she had one child in there that she favored, so he ate with her. And we watched all these things. It was like maybe 9 of us in the house with her. So I grew up under that situation, in that situation. And it made me bitter. It made me hard. But all the time this was going on, what I didn't realize that this lady was coming over there saying she was my sister was really my mother, amen, and that she had raised her too. And she had left me in that same situation that she had been raised in, and one of my other sisters. Now, mind you, it was 13 of us. She had 13 children, and I was the number 7 child, with 6 over me and 6 under me. And she gave me away to this lady, and it took, I didn't realize, I figured out that she was my mother by her kept coming over and the things that was being said, but she actually told me when I was 15 years old. I was talking to her, and she told me, when she told me that, hate filled my heart. I was hurt. I was confused. I was looking at my other brothers and sisters that she had raised and wondered what I did to be given away. But what I didn't understand is that it was all part of God's plan for my life. Because out of all the children that my mother, my birth mother, actually raised, they was Jehovah Witnesses. And the lady that had us, she was a Baptist. So we learned a lot about Jesus, even though it was in a Sunday church. And so I started seeing things when I was small and understanding things that, you know, was connected to the spiritual world, but I couldn't really understand what it was. But I kept faith in God, and I just kept on praying the way I knew how. There was times that I really wanted to give up. Because I knew it was something greater. So as I got into, I got baptized at the age of 4, and it was in the Eastern Star Missionary Baptist Church, and I grew up under that star with her, with this lady that raised us. She'd go to church on Sundays dressed in white and act like a saint, and when she and have us lit new clothes on, we wear the church, we come back, we gotta take them off, put the raggedy clothes back on, and she'll beat us mostly all week. So I was confused. I didn't understand what things was really worried and why she was doing such things. But I kept on going because God had a plan. Amen. How many know that even though you got sometimes you gotta go through to get to? Amen. Praise God. But everything that the devil meant for bad, God turned around for my good. I'm not going to go through my whole testimony, but I just want to give you a little brief of it. Testifying, giving people part of your testimony is one of the greatest weapons that you can use against the devil. Amen. Praise God. A lot of times you look at people and say, well, you know, he's doing great. I mean, he's a great guy. Say, yeah, but you don't know what he done been through. Amen. Praise God. The Bible teaches us don't judge a person from the outward appearance. Amen. Praise God. We got to judge the person for what's on the inside. Amen. Praise God. So I thank God for that. Also, I'd like to say that my wife and I, we've been doing prison ministry since 1976. And God has really used us in that area. And that's the area of the ministry that he called us to. And we also are the chaplains, that's our badges, down at the Justice Center. I have been the chaplains down there for the past 15 years. In the year of 2019, we baptized 34 men before the merging of water inside the jail down there, which never happened before in the state of Missouri. Amen. Praise God. See, so all this was in the plan that was for my life when God, when God allowed my mother to give me away. So what I'm saying is this right here. Every person that God used, amen, thank you, Jesus, to do great things in the Bible had to go through something. Amen. Praise God. So don't think that it's going to always be easy. Amen. Everybody went through something. Paul went through something. You know, when he was Saul, he became Paul. You know, we go through these trials and tribulations, but it all comes to make us strong. Amen. Trials and tribulations come to make us strong. Now, we got to understand that they overcame him in Revelations. It teaches us that the saints, they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb, and then what? By the word of their testimony. So in order for you to have a testimony, you got to be to overcame some stuff. Amen. Praise God. So I'm saying this today is that, so when you're going through your trials, your tribulations, hold on. Hold on. Because it's for your own growth and you're going to grow. Amen. Praise God. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I overcame the enemy by the things that I suffered. So when God got me ready to go into the ministry and do the things that he was calling me to do, I had to be battle worn. I had the spirits that's down in there. Fights in order to go down into the prison, the jailhouse, and deal with the type of spirits that's down in there. See, a lot of people don't run to the prison ministry because they don't know what's in there and they fear what's in there. But God said he's not giving us the spirit of fear, but power with love and a sound mind. Is that right? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to introduce y'all to a man today. And it's a man that's in y'all Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. That God used him mightily. Amen. One that you done heard about a lot, but you didn't know the other part of the story. You might have, but I didn't know it until I had to do a little study and the Holy Spirit revealed it to me about this man. If you would be so kind to turn with me to Mark chapter 5, and I introduce you to this guy. Then I'll show you right quick what God did with him, how he used him, his testimony, just like he used me and my wife and I as well. Thank God for her. I think about her as I look at her. She is a testimony. Amen. Praise God. Really is. She got her kidney in 1 year and 10 months. Amen. The other people at the dialysis center, they was still waiting 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. But see, but when God got something for you to do, amen, praise God, you know, it speeds up the process, amen. When God, when you got a purpose in your life, when you serving God, things change, amen. You know what I'm saying? God got a way of doing things to confound the so-called wise because them people sitting there still thinking about, okay, I've been here 5 years. How did she get up that quick and get a kidney and get up out of here? Amen. Praise God. Like I told her, she got something to do. Amen. Praise God. See, we got to get back on the battlefield. Amen. Because I did not leave my wife at the Dallas Center. I was there sitting right beside her chair every day watching her go through what she had to go through. And I seen when she got to the point where she just wanted to give up, I had to encourage her to hold on because her help is on the way. And I'll never forget it. We had just came from church that Sabbath, and it was around midnight when things happened in the hospital. Be there at 15, called and told her she had a kidney. Amen. Praise God. And to come to the hospital, be there at 15 minutes. I think we got there in 7. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Not going to be before you long. Just want to introduce you to this guy and give you a little revelation about how God used him as well. As we look at Mark, the 5th chapter, verse 1. And they're speaking about Jesus. Jesus and the disciples. And it's about this man he healed that had a legion of demons in him. See, a lot of times when we go into the prisons, behind the prison walls, even downtown the jailhouses, we know we're not dealing and wrestling with flesh and blood, but spiritual weakness in high places, because they have not been delivered, they have not been cast out of these people, so they're still there and they lurking and spurking and trying to find out something else that they can devour. But Jesus said, I'm going to send people forth, anoint them and appoint them and send them forth with a purpose to cast them out. Amen. Praise God. That they too may be saved. Amen. Praise God. So this man, amen, he had many demons. And the Bible says in verse 1, it said, and they came over Jesus and them to the other side. When it came up to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he came out of the boat, immediately out of the tomb, a man with the unclean spirit met him. So this man ran out. He seen Jesus. He ran out, and he met Jesus. Note that this man was demon-possessed, a man dwelling among the tomb. No man could bind him, hold him up, put him in chains. He broke everything. He was strong. He had many demons in him. Shackle him, put chains on him. Everything they did, he pulled it apart. He broke it into pieces. And no one could tame him, the Bible says. And night and day, he was always in the mountains and in the tombs crying out, cutting himself with stones. This is a very vivid description of what demons can do to a person under their control. This man's violent behavior and strength may be attributed to the fact that he was possessed not just by one demon, but many demons. Amen? Praise God. Now, but when he saw Jesus, come over here, when he just looked and saw Jesus walking by, he seen him at a distance, and he ran not to try to frighten Jesus like he was doing everyone else. He ran, and the Bible says that he fell down and started worshiping Jesus. Now, this is a demon, man possessed with many demons, but he knew who Jesus was. He knew exactly who Jesus was. He knew the power that God had in his son, and he recognized who Jesus was, and he ran and fell down to worship him and cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I and his demons died not to torment me." See, for one thing, the devil already knew and his demons that they butt got kicked in heaven already and kicked out. Amen? Praise God. So when they recognized Jesus, they already knew what was going to come. For he knew that this was the Son of God. He confessed it with his mouth. And Jesus looked at him and said this, "Come out, the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked the demon, not that he didn't know. He asked him, he said, "What is your name?" And he answered him saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, as we look, a legion in the Roman army was between, let's see, 3,000 to 6,000 men. Yet in verse 2 and 8, it's seen that there was only one spirit that Jesus was talking to, even though it was about 6,000 more inside of the man. And Jesus was talking to the leader of the demons who had control of the rest of them that was in this man, like a commanding officer of a legion of army men. And he talked to the man, and Jesus dealt specifically with that one. He begged at length that he would not send him away, the demon did, but send him into the pigs, as y'all know the story. I'll get to my point. Now, he did that. He sent him into the pigs. I want to go on down here right quick and share this with you. And after that, Jesus cast out the demons. Jesus gave him permission to go into the herd of pigs. It was like 2,000 pigs. They drowned in the lake. And right after that, Jesus came and saw one who was possessed. I mean, the people came to Jesus, and they saw the man that was in the cave who had been possessed by the demons, the one who had the legion of demons in him, sitting clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid of him now. So in other words, this was a man that they was hearing all night long cutting himself in the tombs. He was out of his mind with demons. But now Jesus had cast the demons out, and they realized that this is the man, but they're not quite sure. They are afraid, and they like, what is going on? They realized that Jesus had displayed some wonderful power, but they didn't understand who he was still and what his purpose was. See, it wasn't by accident that this man was in that tomb. It wasn't by accident that he had got filled with these demons. It wasn't by accident that Jesus was passing by at the time that he passed by. Okay? Something is going to happen. A lot of times when we read this story, we stop there. After he cast the demons out of the man, we look at it, that was the end of it. That was just the beginning. Amen? Praise God. It was just the beginning. Because, see, God wants to take the foolish things of this world, the things that people give up on and that are afraid of, and places that they're afraid to go, to confound the so-called wise and let them know it's not about them, but it's by his power and his might that things get done. Amen? Praise God. It's not about us going into the prison with a hardcore people and murderers and killers and all this. It's about the Christ in us that go in. Amen? Praise God. It's not us they fear. They fear what's in us. The demons know who we belong to. Come on, give God some praise. So here he understood what his purpose was. The sad fact is that they didn't understand. So they told Jesus to leave. That's all right. Now watch this here. Watch this here. Now, when Jesus got ready to leave, after he had healed the man with the demons in him, this is what the preaching start. They begged Jesus and the man to leave because they was afraid. However, the man went to Jesus and say, "Let me go with you. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to go with you." But look what Jesus tells him. He said, No. He said, "I would not permit you to go with me. But what I want you to do, I want you to go home to your own family and tell them that he had compassion, the Lord has done for you, and how he had compassion on you. Now he is sending this man forth now to preach the word. He's sending him forth to be a witness for him." Amen. Praise God. See, everybody can't follow Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes Jesus got to send you somewhere else because he couldn't be all places at one time. See, God has not called us and given us a purpose to sit in a church on a bench. Amen. Think the soul's going to come to us. He said, "I got to send you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." Now, here's a man just a few moments ago was inside a tomb, amen, cutting on himself for the demons, but now he out there on the corner preaching to folks. Amen. Shows you how powerful God is. He take the foolish things of this world to confound the so-called wise. They thought that man was crazy. But when they heard what he was preaching, what he was telling about what Jesus has done for him, what God had brought him out of, your testimony is the powerful thing in the world that you can use against the devil, because what you done been through, somebody else is going through too. And once they hear your testimony and how God brought you out, they'll start shouting and praising and thanking God because, hey, he can bring me out too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This man, glory be to God, he left Jesus and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. In other words, this man, after Jesus told him, "Go home and go show yourself," he told him, "You go preach the kingdom. You go preach what I've done for you. You go show folks who you are now and what you used to be. Tell them what you used to be." Amen. Praise God. As a matter of fact, he didn't even go that far. He stayed in the same area where the people knew how he was before Jesus delivered him. Come on here. Praise God. This was a place and it was a region that was notable to the New Testament in the ministry of Jesus Christ, who crossed through after leaving Tyre and Sidon. This is the place where the demon-possessed man was healed and sent to preach. He was sent. It didn't end after he got delivered. His ministry was just going to start. When God delivers you from something, whether it's alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, going to jail, whatever the case may be, let's just say sin. Amen? That's when it began. It ain't the end. It's when it began, because now that he done delivered you and brought you out of something, you are obligated to go tell somebody else about it so that they can come out of it. Amen? Praise God. So here it is now. This is a place, I like this, where the demon-possessed man was healed and was sent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the city of pagan inhabitants. Now watch where he's going. See, I felt that Holy Spirit. See, he had to go through the demon-possessed procedure in order to go demonstrate and preach to the ones that was also demon-possessed. The people that he was sent to preach to was the people that came. Come on here, I like this. Let me get my head back. Was the same people that Joshua had to send out the promised land. Come on here. The same folks that was in the promised land trying to worship Baal, a demon god. The same folks that planned for you. Send this man to preach to that they might get saved. Come on here. See, God got a plan for you. God got a plan for your life. You are a living testimony. This is the fact of the matter. Many people in the New Testament time believed that the inhabitants of this area were those who Joshua had driven out the promised land, which was the seven pagan nations in Joshua 3:10 and Acts 13:10, making a land in which they lived. They called them the expelled ones, the ones that were expelled out the promised land. Remember, they went over to the promised land, and when they got over to the promised land, Joshua told them, he said, I don't know about you and your family, but me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Me and my house. See, everybody that went over there didn't serve the Lord. Some of them went over there and served the devil. And these were these folks that was inhabited over there. They was pagans, and they over there serving a different gods and worshiping different things that Balaam was giving them. And this is where the man with the demons possessed with thousand demons, this is the land that he was in also. So here it is. They asked, is this the same man that's out here preaching and teaching and casting out demons? Is this the man himself was full of demons? Oh, God, look at here. Now, in this context, Jesus' ministry was very remarkable. Why? Because now you're in a place, not a safe place. You're in a place where there's folks that you don't know if they're going to murder you, kill you, or, you know, spirit of fear the devil tried to put up on you. In other words, you're going to a dangerous place that you don't know what's going to happen, or even if you're going to get back out. Jesus sent us into places. If he sent you to a place and inside of a place or to a people, he's going to make sure you come back out because you are protected, you are anointed, you have been appointed. I don't know about your Bible. Last time I read it, he said, how can they hear except he sent a preacher? And how can he preach? Ooh, I felt that. Except he's been sent. Amen. He got him ready. He got this man that came out the tomb ready to go minister. Now watch this. The disciples hesitated when Jesus suggested that they roll by boat and go into Decapolis. Mentioned in the other part of Mark 4:35, it called the other side. See, the other side is where they was worshiping demons and stuff. So Jesus said, let's go over there. And the disciples like, I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they kind of rough over there. Them guys over there is kind of rough. You know, you think we should? But this is where the demon-possessed man ministry was going to start. Watch this. Once they arrived there, it was probably no surprise at all that they were greeted by a man who possessed by a legion of demons. This is him. So when Jesus and his disciples went to the other side, was the one that was expelled out of the promised land, who was kicked out because they were serving demons, Jesus took his disciples and went over there and ran into the main demon that was in the cave cutting himself. But Jesus knew that he was going to cast them demons out. He was going to send them into the pigs and kill them and take that man and use him to the glory of God. Hearing him in the mouth, amen, praise God, the same man that they feared was running from day and night, hearing him in the mountain, cutting on himself, was the same man that became a martyr of the faith. See, there may be a way or seem right to man, but the end results can be destruction. God took everything that we thought that couldn't be used in the Bible to use to his glory. Moses, before he went on the run, he killed a man. He murdered a man. Paul was one of the most dangerous slayer of Christians. David, who was a man after God's own heart, committed adultery and everything else. See, so he take the foolish things that we don't think he could use and use them just to show us that he's God. See, his way is not like our way. His thoughts is not like our thoughts. If you ain't been through some stuff, you can't minister folks like you should. Because, see, they want to know that you done been through something too. Or you done went through or going through what they done been through. Amen? Amen. So in this place called Decapolis, he did great things for the ministry of Christ. And uncharacteristically, Jesus was having healed the man, sent him to share the good news with the people of his own city, of his own town, possibly a town called Sisissa, which was close by. Apparently, the man message preaching was blessed before the next time Jesus came back through there, a lot of them folks were saved. He left that same man that possessed with all them demons in that town to preach the word of God. And when he came back through there, them folks were saved. Don't tell me what God can't do. See, this is what I tell the men in prison. To you, it might be over. But for God, it's just beginning. Amen. They be there for a reason to think about what they done. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Amen. Choose this day. You got an opportunity. You see, the man from whom Jesus drove out the demons, the legion of demons out of, he returned back to the city of Decapolis to tell others about the miracle that Jesus had did. As a matter of fact, he didn't have to even open his mouth and say nothing. He just stood there because they knew how he used to be. See, well, you know how the town bully used to be, how the town drunk used to walk around drinking and asking for money. Now, all of a sudden, you see him about a week or two later, you hear about him and got saved. Next thing you know, he's somewhere preaching and teaching and cleaning us all outdoors. And you ask yourself, well, is this the same man? What happened? What changed him? Because he was changed from inside out, not the outside in. So you got to understand that things that seem normal to us is not normal to God. And what's normal to God is not normal to seem normal to us. So what I'm trying to say, this man that was right here, God would use these things. If he could take this man that was full of over 6,000 demons and use him to preach the word, why do you think he can't use you? We're not the only ones been called to preach. I was given away as a child. My mother was coming around me for 15 years. I thought she was my sister, but she was my mother. You see what I'm saying? But it was all part of my testimony for me for not to become something that God didn't want me to be. God was shaping my life to become a preacher, preach the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I know who saved me. I know who brought me out. I know it was God. Amen. So, and to this day, some believers believe the strong testimony of this man who was delivered from the legion of demons. This is why the community and where he went to preach was one of the cities during the ancient times was due to this man's testimony. It was due because of him witnessing the people. It was due because of his preaching. It was due because folks knew how he used to be and now how he is now. Don't let your failures predict what your future is going to be. Amen. Don't let no man tell you that you can't do it or it's useless. Because, see, God wants to use each and every one. We are not no accidents. Each one of us that's in this building right now has been born, and we've been born with a purpose. Amen. And to fulfill that purpose, sometimes you got to go through some stuff. Sometimes in the beginning, bad stuff happened to you. But Jesus always there to help you. See, I don't know about you, but I got to the point where I said, you know what? I think I'm going to testify while I got the chance, because I might not get this chance anymore. Amen. You know, don't be ashamed of your testimony. Whatever you done been through, it's for the witness and evangelistic tool to go out there and draw more souls to Christ. Half of the churches out there evangelizing right now. Why? Because this is the thing that God, Jesus told his disciples to do. When he healed this man and cast these demons out, it wasn't for him to go home and watch football. It was him to go home and play with the cat and the dog. No, it was him to become a witness for him, for him to become a martyr of the faith. When Jesus, when God look at you and see favor upon you, say, you know what? I know you're a wreck. I know you're a shape undone, but still I want to use you. See, you are the one I want to use.
I know you've been unfaithful. I know you stole something. I know you probably beat this man to death, Moses, but I still want to use you. See, not that I got to use you. See, not that I want to use, I got to use you because folks know what you did. Folks know how you used to be. But see, I'm going to prove to them that you can change. Come on here. I'm going to prove to them that you can be a faithful husband. You can be a faithful wife. You can take care of your mother when she's sick. You can do these things because it's not you doing it no more. It's the Holy Ghost and Christ in you doing it. Come on, give God some praise. See, I'm going to testify, saints, in season and out of season. I got to tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus and just how good Jesus has been to me. I don't know about you, but how good Jesus has been to my wife, how good Jesus has been to my children, how good Jesus has been to my cat, how good Jesus has been to my dog. Come on here. How good Jesus has been to my sister. How good Jesus has been to my brother. How good Jesus has been to my friend. How good Jesus has been to even my enemies. How good Jesus has been to those who try to personally persecute me. How good Jesus has been. He's a good God. All the time. Not sometimes. He's a good God all the time. I got to tell somebody how good Jesus has been, how he spared my life, how he spared my wife's life, and even how he spared your life, even when you didn't know it. Come on, give God some praise. When you was given the Spirit, don't you credit. When you were given the surgeon the credit, Jesus said, I'm the one doing it through the Holy Spirit. Don't you understand? I'm standing at the crossroad. I was the one on the cross. I'm the one took the stripes for you. And by them, you was healed. See, I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But I just like to say that the man that was living in the tomb, crying out, cutting himself, inflicting pain and suffering day and night, once he got delivered by Jesus, come on here, he had to go tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus and what the Lord had done for him. He had to go testify while he had the chance. He had to go evangelize and let them know that God is able to heal me and deliver these demons out of me. He could do the same to you who are worshiping Baal. The man, he was given a chance. He had got an opportunity because he was an overcomer now. Come on. By the blood of the Lamb and by the words now of his testimony. This man can be used by God. I am also a conqueror by the things that God has brought me through. You are a conqueror. You are a conqueror. You are a conqueror. We all are conquerors. That's been delivered by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our testimony. Now we got to go evangelize. We got to go tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it. You know, I felt that Holy Spirit. You know what? You remember when Jesus opened the blind man's eyes and he told him, don't tell nobody. Sometimes when God does things for you, even if he tell you don't tell nobody, you get so excited and be so happy, you're going to go tell somebody anyhow. Because you can't help yourself. You are happy. This man couldn't see for years. And some of them folks trying to be happy for him and saying, man, we glad you can see now. They trying to find out who and how his eyes got open. It doesn't matter. Like it's the only thing I know, this man touched my eyes and I can see. But he told me, don't say nothing, but I can't keep this eye. I got to tell somebody about it. I got to go evangelize. I got to go tell somebody about what Jesus done in my life, what he can do in your life, what he can do in their life, because he can take the sinner man and use them to his glory. He has done it all through the Bible. And now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to go tell somebody, to go evangelize and tell somebody about your testimony. How Jesus brought you out. How Jesus brought you out of your tomb of doom. How Jesus made you become a witness through his awesome love and power that destroyed the works of Satan trying to take your life. Go tell somebody about it. Because you was here for a purpose. Don't let the devil sit you down in your testimony and tell you you can't go out there and tell somebody about Jesus. They ain't going to listen to you. Or he going to come with all type of stuff because he know they're going to listen. Especially the folks that used to know how you used to be. That's who he sent you back to. Because, see, they knew how you used to be. And they know the person they see now is not the same person. What happened? I got saved. I believed and I asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. No longer was it about me and what I wanted. It was all about him. Amen. Praise God. I represent Jesus of Nazareth. I represent Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. That's why we wear these shirts, because we wear them as a testimony of what God is. We're not ashamed of the gospel. I'll preach all day long. I preach in a restroom by myself. They'd be like, he crazy. Yeah, about Jesus. Because that's how good he done been to me. That's how he brought me out. My mother could have left me on a doorstep anywhere. And I didn't have to be in a situation where I was abused and beaten and all that all on me from a child. I didn't have to go through all that. But God said, even that, I'm going to bring you out. I got to make you, mold you, fashion you. It's not about what you want, it's about what I want. When you stop thinking about what you want, think about what God wants, then you can endure long suffering. You can endure what God has got for you. Look at this. I'm finna close. The works that Satan is trying to do in your life and trying to camouflage and sit you down on your purpose and your testimony. That's a sin. That's a sin. Because you was born with a purpose so that God could get the glory out of your life. And you know something? I'm sure something else with you. It might surprise you, though. The life you live now is not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price, a high price, a price of God sacrificing his own son on the cross that died for our sin. He not committed another hour ago. Now, no gall found in his mouth. He said, send me, Father, I will go. I would take the stripes. I would take the licks. I had girls that was in the house that this lady was raising us with, and she was beating them. I would say I done the things that they done and take the whoop for them because I could took it. And they asked, why did you say that you did it when we know we did it? Well, I said, because I could take the pain. I could take the whoopings. I'd rather for me to get whooped than you. Not knowing that God was getting me ready to follow Jesus, because Jesus did the same thing for us. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So the glory of God that came out of this man that was in the tomb. See, like I said, it didn't stop there. This man went on to be a great preacher, even though he started out being a person in a tomb with over 6,000 demons in him. And if God could take that man, cast them demons out and use them to his glory. And you ain't, well, we confess we ain't got none in us, right? That he can use you too to do great and mighty things. You know, I know y'all probably look at the news, some of us, that say we don't, you know. But every day down at the Justice Center downtown, they bring in more young men with high-risk crimes. And I have seen not one, after they hear the news, the good news, because some of them ain't never had a father, a mentor, a big brother, none of that. So we go in there, we tell them about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for them, because they don't even know about Jesus. But we give them a chance to introduce them to Jesus, and then they want a second chance. And you know what we tell them? God's going to give you one. Because, see, it's not the parole board or the warden or even the jailer in the jail that's going to set you free. Only thing they can do is release you back into society. But if you're going to be set free, the Bible said, whom the Son of Man set free is free indeed. You got to be free from the inside out. This man that was possessed with the demons was free from the inside out. But listen to my message was this. After he got free is what I'm talking about today. What did he do? He went and evangelized. He went and witnessed. He went and preached for half his church at right now, what they're doing right now. That's what that man did. And when you know this, God done brought you out of something. God done did it so that you can go help somebody else come out the same situation. It wasn't because he respected you, because God is not a respecter of persons. Amen? Amen? He want to use you. He want to use you. Don't be a bench warmer. Just don't sit on the bench and see, we feed y'all. Don't let what we giving y'all go to waste. Take it and use it. Everything you hear that sound doctrine, take it out there and witness with it to somebody else that they may grow also. Amen? Amen. Praise God. With that, I yield. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I just want to thank you today by way of the Holy Spirit. Because, Lord God, your word is true. It will not return back void unto you. Lord, there are many servants of yours out there today that's evangelizing in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just wanted to come and encourage Mid Rivers Church to let them know that even a man that was full of that many demons also was delivered. And after he got delivered, he went and preached the kingdom of God. Amen. When he showed himself to the same people that was afraid of him, that God, the power of God is real. Lord, I pray today as I give this benediction that you would take away every spirit of fear of anyone not wanting to have a fearful a state of mind of witness to somebody and telling someone else about Jesus. But Lord God, because it is the source of their salvation. Father God, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord God, let them take this message that the testimony that I think I testify because it's time for us to start testifying. We are in the end times now and the fulfilling of all the prophecies. We have to raise up a standard against the enemy. We have to fight like we never fought before. And Lord, we thank you for today's message. Lord, we thank you for the revelation you've given us just about the tomb in the womb that you showed us that you can use even somebody like that. And if you can do that with him, I know what you can do with us. So, Lord God, I would like to close out by saying, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the glory of his presence with exceedingly joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, belongs glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.